Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday, December the 2nd, 2021. What are we now, 23 days from Christmas and 29 days left in the year of 2021. 19 minutes past the hour, and we have got a great show for you this morning here on WWGH Radio. We're going to be joined for the entire duration this morning, the entire two-hour program, by Mike McGinnis, local Marion resident, who you might have seen recently, just last Wednesday, on the hit TLC program, cable television program, My 600 Pound Life. We're going to talk to Mike about his life and times here in Marion and his experience on that program. And at 9:15 this morning, we're going to be joined our kind of annual visit that we've been doing the last 4 or 5 years with Santa Larry Jefferson, the first African-American Santa at the Mall of America in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I believe he's up in Chicago. He's doing television this hour, so he'll be joining us just after 9:15 for about 10 minutes, and then we'll come back to Mike McGinnis here in the studio and wrap up the program. But we certainly thank Mike for coming in on the heels of his big program last week. I believe we were talking this morning before we went on the air. I was talking with Mike, and this morning they just, TLC, put out a new TikTok, new video of something he's done. So, Mike, it's good to meet you for the first time and glad to have you here.
Yeah, it's fun to be here. I've always thought about giving my story out there for a while, and it's a good opportunity to tell people what I went through and just give some encouragement to those who just are struggling with some of the things I struggled with over the last few years.
Why is weight such a struggle? Not for just you. I mean, there's a show. There's people here in Marion listening right now. I was telling you about a friend I had earlier who has an issue. Why has that become such an issue in the last 20 years, more so than it was before?
Well, With the fast food market and the busy schedules everybody has, food has just become readily available, and it makes it so much easier. Now with even DoorDash and Grubhub, you don't have to leave your house. So even if you're sick or anything, you're having food delivered, and it's one of those issues that not many people think is an issue, but the food is, it's everywhere, and you can't go into a town without seeing 4 or 5 fast food restaurants right off the highway. So it's simple just to go through a drive-thru, pick up something and leave, not knowing the sandwich you're eating is 1,200 to 1,300 calories just for that sandwich, and you should only be having 2,000 calories a day total. So that weight will pack on.
Yeah, well, you know, it's an interesting thing because are you aware when it's happening, when the pounds keep going up, that there's an issue?
For me, I didn't realize I was getting bigger. I still think to myself, like, right now I'm 587 pounds. I still have the mentality of being a skinny guy. Like, I look in the mirror like, holy crap, how'd I get to this? But I think that I'm still skinny. I still think that I'm small. But then I can't do normal things. I see my clothes hanging up on the hangers and stuff. So it'll creep up on you and you won't know it.
Now, what are some things you can't do strictly because of the weight?
Oh, man. There's some furniture I can't sit on. Can't go to some restaurants because they have arms on their chairs. It's hard to get around sometimes. So amusement parks, I haven't been to one in a long time. I love roller coasters, so it's gonna be fun losing all my weight to go on a roller coaster again. Flying, I have to get 2 seats. I can only drive certain cars because of leg room and the width of the seat and everything. So there's tons of restrictions when it comes to adding on the weight.
You know, it's interesting. We don't think about that, but if a friend said, hey, you want to ride with me down to the grocery store, and they drive a small car, this could be an issue.
Well, if you saw the show, one of the Ubers I took was a four-door sedan. I had to sit in the back. I can't sit in the front. Usually I can put the passenger seat up and give me more leg room, but I'm used to being 6'5", too. Makes it hard with the roof and everything, so I'm usually in the back, tilted sideways, but I'm usually sitting in the back if I ride with somebody.
Now, just for people, you gave kind of an update to us there. 587 pounds now. What were you when you started the show?
I started the show at 745.
745.
That is the highest weight I'd ever been.
At 745, what did you feel like day to day?
I felt like my body was breaking down. With the many years of lifting and football, my body has withstood a lot. And I kept saying, well, I'm big, but because of football, my body's okay. But as of this year and last year, I could tell that my body was breaking down and my legs were hurting. I had to stop all the time to catch my breath. Every 10, 20 feet, it wasn't good. The breathing capacity in my lungs was low, and it was hard. It was very, very difficult on a daily basis.
Now, for people to understand this, I think it's hard sometimes. The program aired last Wednesday, the night before Thanksgiving,
yeah.
But it wasn't taped last Wednesday.
No.
When did this all happen? When were you 745 pounds?
I believe that day was May 14th, is when I went down to Houston, got weighed in for the first time.
So you have lost, now what would be the grand total here?
Right now it's 148 pounds.
148 pounds since May.
Actually 158.
158 pounds in the last,
six and a half months.
Now how do you do that?
Well, before surgery I was on a strict 400 calorie a meal diet. And that was no carbs, no starches. Breakfast I had an omelet with some hot sauce in it. Lunch, I was having like a couple cans of tuna with celery or canned chicken or canned beef. And then dinner, I was doing fish, tilapia, cod, salmon, anything. Just standard the 400 calories. And I stopped drinking pop, stopped all breads, no potatoes, no chips. Cut out everything on my diet.
Now, tell us about the surgery. What surgery did you have?
I had the sleeve.
Okay.
So he basically cut out 85% of my stomach.
Now, a lot of people think about this. This has become much more common than it used to be. What goes into that?
Well,
how much cutting has to be done and how much recovery time is there?
Basically, they go in. The surgery was shown on the show, which kind of freaked me out because it was the first time I'd seen it. They basically take the whole stomach and make it into a shape of a banana. And it went from like the size of like a football to a watermelon down to the size of like a banana. And they basically stitched the whole, if you take the curve of the banana, the outside curve is all stitches because that's where they cut the stomach off. And I was in the hospital for 3 days. And it took 8 weeks. I'm now 9 weeks out, 10 weeks out. But it took 8 weeks of recovery of no lifting, no strenuous activity, just to heal. Because if one of those stitches breaks, the stomach content leaks out into the body and I die from it.
Now, as for people who didn't see the show, who covered the surgery, the show which covered the surgery, is there a lot of cutting? Did it leave a big scar?
I actually have 6 little incisions on my stomach. It was all robotic. They put little cameras and robots into my stomach, and then Dr. Now sat over in the corner on some machine and looked into a screen and did everything. So it was all laparoscopic. It was pretty cool.
Now, when you woke up, did you feel rough like you would maybe after an appendix surgery or something like that?
It felt like I woke up from a long sleep. I was a little groggy. It was actually the night of my 20-year school reunion. So, like an hour after I woke up, one of my friends did a video call with me and took me around to all my classmates. I don't really remember who I talked to, but I was able to communicate, but they knew I was still pretty groggy.
I know when the gastric bypass first came about, they talked about how if you eat certain things, you will get nauseous, that you will have to go to the restroom more than a normal person would. What is the situation there?
I know I started out with an all-liquid diet because having a major surgery on your stomach, you can't really eat solid food. But I'm now doing, I can do solids, but I should be eating some meat, but my body doesn't like the meat right now. I've tried like the ham and the turkey and the chicken, but within a couple minutes, I'm throwing it up. So I've stuck with soups. But yeah, they said it'll take about a year to get back to like a normal meal. But yeah, it comes out pretty quick if your body doesn't like it.
So how do you know what your body doesn't like? You have to try it. So if you're out with somebody and you say, well, I'm going to try this, within minutes you could be bringing it back up.
Yeah, I've had that happen at a couple restaurants. I went and ordered eggs, and I said, I make them really, really slimy. I don't want a hard egg. I want really soft. And I found out it's more of the yolk than anything. And yeah, it didn't last very long.
So what is a typical day food-wise for it? What will you eat today?
For breakfast, I had sugar-free chocolate pudding, just because I didn't feel like doing anything else. For lunch...
Now, is that just like one cup?
One like
container. Back. Yeah, yeah.
For lunch, I'll probably do a half cup to a cup of cheddar broccoli soup. And then for dinner, I'll probably go to Panera and get some cheddar broccoli soup.
Now, do you ever get tired of eating things over and over at this point?
Honestly, I thought I would, but it's been... I'm enjoying what I'm doing right now, and the food, it's like, once you find something that works, you stick with it. And the soup's working, and it tastes good. Why not do it?
Now, back in May, at 745 pounds, could you have ever envisioned yourself eating that little in the course of a 24-hour period?
I would consider this like a pre-snack to a normal snack. So, eating this amount is... Even doing the 400-calorie meals, I did eat pretty good because I can find things that can make 400 calories, but those meals were still just, I never thought I'd be doing that. But yeah, these are tiny. It's not a lot.
Now, back in May, what would have been a typical day, food-wise?
Oh, man, breakfast, probably a bowl of sugared cereal or something with some peanut butter and jelly toast, and then for lunch... Probably two sandwiches, lunch meat or peanut butter jelly or something with some chips, some milk, and then dinner, whatever we cooked for dinner. Probably have two helpings of it.
Now, you said breathing was an issue. Has the breathing gotten better?
Oh, man, breathing is amazing. I have so much more energy now. I can walk anywhere without having to stop and rest. So it's like I'm going to grocery stores now, I'm going to Walmart and walking around without an issue. Just it feels like I'm getting back to my old self.
What would the situation have been like before if you had to go to Walmart?
I didn't go.
Didn't go.
If I did, I was riding the cart.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't walk around. But with the invention of Instacart and curbside pickup, and I use that a lot.
You know, this has been a question. A lot of these things became very popular at the start of the pandemic. They have been there prior to that, but just weren't used to this great extent. Are these things good in the long run?
I think it's great for people that are working and doing the jobs because it gives them extra income, or it is their income. But, like, for people that could benefit from getting out of their house and going to the store and walking the store, I think it's good for them to do that. And that's what I've started doing myself, is I go to the store and just walk around because I need to get out of my house. And I had to learn that.
You know, it's interesting because I was having this discussion with somebody the other day that it seems like the people who go to the store still and don't take advantage of those programs are people who really don't necessarily need to. They're the healthier people, the slimmer people. And the people who are taking advantage of them, who are able-bodied, are people who just don't want to go to the store and are bigger and are just, they could benefit from it.
Yes. Prior to everything, it was just hard for me to get around, so I didn't want to go to the store, didn't want to use my energy to get stuff. It was just so much easier to have it delivered or just pick it up on the side, have them bring it to my car. But now, it is a mental switch that you have to have in your mind to make that choice to say, hey, I'm going to park and I'm going to walk inside. And it took me a while to get there, but now I pull in, I get out and go in because I have to, I need to.
Clothes become a big issue. If you go into the stores, clothes are not made for bigger people. How do you get your clothes?
There's a store down in Polaris called Destination XL. I get a lot of my stuff from there. And then there's a website called kingsize.com that I get my stuff from. But I've stopped buying right now because everything's shrinking, or I'm shrinking so fast. My clothes don't fit. But I don't want to go buy new stuff yet because I'll grow out of it in a month or two. And it's expensive to get big and tall stuff.
Now, what size shirt, what size pants were you in at 7:45?
Well, the two places I get stuff, their sizes run weird. I'm currently wearing a 9XL sweatshirt, which is huge on me now.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I wear from Destination, this is from King Size, from Destination XL, I was wearing a 7XLT t-shirt or sweatshirt. So it's basically like a two-size difference. But, right, and my pants, I think it was like a 5X or 6X pair of pants, and I had to get a new pair of sweats the other day, and it was a 4X. So I've actually dropped good size on my pants.
Now, when you go to these stores, what is the price like?
A pair of sweats, roughly $40 to $70. T-shirts are $40. Jeans, anywhere from $60 to $300. So it's not cheap.
Now, health-wise, aside from the breathing, how are you? Blood pressure?
Blood pressure, I'm usually about 120 over 75. Not close to being diabetic. The only health scares that I've had over the past couple years, I had congestive heart failure a couple times, and I had COVID at the beginning of this year for over New Year's Eve. So,
now, what was that like, not breathing well at that time?
It was very hard. Sitting there coughing for 30 to 40 seconds, not taking a breath, it was kind of difficult. So I was in the ICU for a couple days.
But pulled through.
Pulled through.
Pulled through.
Yeah.
Do you have any, we talk about that COVID long-term syndrome, do you have any after effects of it?
I don't know. Because losing my weight, my breathing's gotten a lot better, and I thought that I might have had some effects from that with breathing, but yeah, I've been doing good with that.
Now, congestive heart failure, that's not something you can undo, is it?
That's a good question. I don't know. One doctor said it was, one doctor said it wasn't, so I'm just going that, yeah, I had it. I was in the hospital 3 times down in Riverside getting checked out, so I just think doing the surgery and going through with this, I probably won't have any more issues with that.
What is it like for people who've never had congestive heart failure?
It feels like your chest is about ready to explode and just full-on anxiety attack, breathing, just don't, you're not comfortable anywhere, and you just, it feels like you're dying. It's not a good feeling.
No fun. Hey, go ahead, caller. You're on the air. Are you there, caller? If that's you, call back in. We had a caller there. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We will take your call. But if you do call in, stick with us, because if we're in the middle of something, we will finish the thought and then get to you on the phone line. When did you first realize you had a congestive heart failure issue?
When I went down to Riverside, they did a couple tests, and they said, we need you to go into our heart center to get checked out just to make sure you're doing okay. And they said that, yeah, it looks like you had it, and you need to do something about your weight. So I entered Ohio Health's bariatric program to try to lose weight, and I did that, and then COVID hit, and then they stopped doing all the doctor's appointments, and then I started back up at the end of last year. But that's when the show contacted me. I was like, well, since I'm already doing it, might as well do the show. And
now, Mike, do we have a pair of headphones for you over there? Here we go. There's a pair of headphones, and in that cup there, that blue cup, there's a connector so we can get you plugged in here. Is there a blue cup over there? If only we would have prepared before we get... Yeah, there should be a connector in there, a little thing for the end of the headphone to plug into the box there.
Okay.
Should be right over there. All right. You're on with Mike. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted Mike to know that I've had the same surgery he had. And I'm over a year out. And, I mean, he's done a lot more. He's doing a lot better than I did. I mean, he's lost weight a lot faster than I did. I lost 100 pounds in 6 months.
Is that right? So you've had the same surgery?
The same exact surgery, yes.
And so, and he's doing a lot better than you were as far as the weight loss goes.
Yeah, I lost 100 pounds in 6 months, and he's lost way more than I did.
Did you happen to see his story last week on TLC?
No, unfortunately, if I would have known it was on, I would have watched it, but I didn't know.
Well, it is on YouTube, so you can actually do a search on YouTube and watch it, or go on to Discovery Plus, and the show is available on Discovery Plus.
Yeah, I'll probably catch it on YouTube.
Yeah, check. Do you have any words of encouragement for Mike here? It sounds like you've done pretty well.
Yeah, the meat thing, no, it doesn't get any better, really. I'm going to tell you that, buddy. Every once in a while, you'll be able to eat meat, and it won't bother you. But, no, there's still a lot of times I can eat lunch meat, and I can eat things I cook in the oven a lot of times. If I cook meat in the oven, then I can eat more of it. But, no, the meat thing doesn't get much better.
Mm. Well, hey, I thank you for being out there this morning, and thanks for calling.
Yeah.
All right. And again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And remember, hang on the line there. If we connect you, it takes a minute sometimes to get you on the line. And if it's ringing busy, just keep calling back in until it's not ringing busy anymore. It just means we're on the line with somebody else. Mike, give us a little bit of your background here in Marion. Were you born here?
Born and raised in Marion. I've lived in the same house I grew up in. Went to Indian Mound, went to Baker, and then went to Harding, graduated in 2001.
We got another call. Go ahead, caller. You're on with Mike.
Hey, first of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
And I have a question. Do you have skin, like hanging skin? And if so, Are you planning on getting that removed?
I have started getting some loose skin, and I am planning on getting it removed sometime at the end of next year. My doctor said I should hit my goal weight by next summer, which will be pretty fun to lose. I need to lose.
And I just recently tuned in. What was your goal weight?
My goal weight's 250.
Okay.
So I'll probably get down to about 350, 300, then have the surgery, and then I'll be at my goal weight.
Well, coming from someone who struggled with their weight all their life, I just want to say congratulations and good luck, and you got this.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye. Good question. Good question. Goal weight. That's a very good question.
Yeah.
So 250 is what you're looking at.
Yes. I actually weighed that sixth grade.
Sixth grade. When did things progressively start to get bigger than 250?
I graduated in 2001. I was 6'5", 315 pounds. And that was a pretty good weight for me. Everything got worse once football ended the next fall. And I think I gained about 150 in the next year.
150 pounds in 1 year?
Yeah.
Now, what kind of lifestyle did you have at that point?
I was away at college for a little bit, but the thing is, before, I was lifting every day, working out, and to live that lifestyle of working out all the time, you have to eat a certain amount of food to maintain your weight and your health. When I stopped working out, stopped playing football, I still ate the same. So I was still eating 10,000 to 15,000 calories a day, which then started packing on the pounds. And I did that for a couple of years.
Now, were you a big kid?
I was always a big kid. I got made fun of and bullied a lot growing up. It wasn't until I started playing football where my size actually was a good thing. And I was always a big kid person. So.
Now, as you have gotten older and obviously went into life, you were married?
Yes.
Did it ever impact the marriage, the weight?
It did. There were some times where my ex-wife was concerned about everything, and I did go to Chicago to an inpatient eating recovery center, and I was there for about 4 months, and that helped for a little bit. And then everything went down the drain once I got my divorce.
Mm. So a lot of this does deal with mindset.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you suffer from any depression or anxiety?
I suffered from depression for many, many, many years. It was probably 2016 is when I first found out that I was diagnosed with depression. And it all stemmed from losing my self-identity when I dropped football, because I was a football player. That's all I did. That was my life. And once that stopped, I didn't know who I was.
We have a caller on the line. We're going to talk more about this mindset here in a second. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I was just wondering, I got problems with my family's, I got a lot of obese family members. I had over 1,000-pound aunt that died. Did you have any family members that doesn't run in your family? Because I know in mine it did. So
good question.
I'm having trouble with my weight because where I inherited that.
I have a couple family members that do struggle with a little bit of weight, but not as severe. I think the next highest weight's like low 300s. So it's not really, they're bigger people. But I'm the only one that in the family that's actually struggled severely with the weight gain.
Oh, because my aunts and, I was skinny when I was in high school. I could eat whatever I wanted to and wouldn't gain a pound. And they call me toothpick. And I was like one of the fastest kids at my school. And still today, some of the kids say, my friend says, hey, I was one of the fastest kids at my school. Now you look at me and I kind of put on a little bit of weight, and my family, like I said, my family was overweight, a lot of us.
Yeah, and I know sometimes it does, you do get inherited genes that cause that, I believe mine was more of the mental side of it and the coping of the depression that caused everything.
But I just said good luck on that weight loss. I mean, I know I'm struggling with mine, but good luck, buddy.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for calling. Yep. Again, phone lines are open. If you get the busy signal, just means we're on the line with somebody else, so keep on trying back in. 740-383-9944. I know it's an issue that a lot of people want to talk about because so many people suffer with it, and a lot of people's family members suffer with it.
Yeah.
It's a very common thing. Depression. How do you define it?
Depression is this feeling of emptiness inside you that you don't know where it came from, why it's there, and it makes you just want to just hide. I wanted to be in, I live in my parents' basement. Yeah, I live there because I lived there when I got back from college. I like it. It's like my own little space. And people say, why in the basement? It's so dark and stuff. It's my solitude. But I didn't want to leave. I didn't want to go out in public. I didn't want to drive anywhere. Didn't want to see anybody. And I went years doing that. And it's, if anybody's feeling that, please get checked out. It'll feel so much better.
Now, were you able to treat yours with therapy, or did you need medicinal help?
I was taking pills. I was taking one a day. And it helped, and I'm actually off of it now because, for some reason, I'm on this mental high right now. Don't know if I'll need it again. I'll always be open to it. But, yeah, I know some people that are also taking meds, and it's helped them tremendously.
Did anybody ever look to your parents and say, why do you let him live in the basement? Why do you let him eat like that? That sort of thing.
I've had a bunch of people reach out and say, why do your parents enable you to do that? It wasn't their choice. It's stuff I did. I chose to live in the basement because that's my spot. I'm the one that picked up the fork. I'm the one that ate the food. I'm the one that didn't get the treatment when I needed it. So it's not on them. I bought my own stuff. So.
Do you ever want to live in your own space?
I'm still looking. I'm still recovering from being laid off during COVID and trying to get back on my feet and everything with my health. And I am looking for a place. I don't know where I want to be yet. My kids live in Marysville, so maybe closer to them. And I work, my company's in Hilliard. So don't know if I want to stay in Marion, if I want to move closer to Marysville. Just haven't decided yet.
Now, the things that people say, because people, I don't think, realize how cruel they can be sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How did that affect you?
I've learned over the years, people are going to say things. It's how you respond that's going to affect you. Some of them, it's like, I just want to snap back at them and be like, yeah, you just don't understand. But I'd take it one in one ear out the other. It's
what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Go ahead, caller.
Yes, hi. I was just listening in. I actually know Adam. I work with him. We work my company Geeks on Repair a lot. I just had gastric bypass surgery a month ago. So I can relate to a lot of what I'm hearing. I can relate to a lot of it. I wanted to point out one thing that maybe a lot of people don't always know about people that overeat and just, you know, eat a little more than they should. At least in my case, I've always had a thing with food where it's something to do. You know, like the weekend comes along, you know, like what is there to do? Well, there's a restaurant. You know, there's always that restaurant that you want to go to. That's just my personal, that's what I've gone through with food, where it is, it became something to do. So how do you let go of that? You let go of, you know, how do you let go of something that becomes like you know, and I don't want to say entertainment because that would be going a little too far, but, you know, it's it becomes something to do on the weekend, something to do after work, you know, something to do on a Friday night. You know, let's go to a restaurant, let's go to this place, that place, you know. I just wanted to add that.
That's a good question. The thing is, you can't say, well, I can't go to a restaurant anymore. You don't change your life like that. What you do is you change your mindset as, okay, I'm going to this restaurant. What healthy options do they have for me? What am I going to be able to eat that's going to be beneficial and be in the proportion that I need to have?
Yeah, yeah. You know what that comes down to, though? One word, discipline.
Yep.
Something that's very, at least for a lot of people, is very hard to get to. The discipline of being able to just eat, you know, half a plate or a portion of the food that you love most. But it's completely necessary. You know, you think about it, there's a lot of things, you know, people can't accomplish in life if they don't have that discipline. And it's hard to come by, believe me. Anyhow, I weighed over 400 pounds, and I've lost 50 pounds already just in the last month. So gastric bypass surgery seems to have worked so far, thus far. It's a process. It's not easy. A lot of liquids, solids. I'm just getting into small solids now, but solid food. But yeah, I just wanted to add that, you know, for the listeners. You know, there is hope out there. Don't get discouraged, and you're not alone. You know, it's weight, you know, being overweight and being very much overweight puts a lot of strain on different aspects of your life. You know, there's different things that you can't do that you used to do. I mean, I could just go on and on, but there's hope. You know, I just want the listeners to know that there's hope and, you know, discipline. Think about that word. Is there anything else Adam told me to call in? Adam's a good friend of mine, by the way. And I just happened to have gastric bypass surgery a month ago, so he thought I should call in.
I think I don't have anything to say.
Nope, that's the advice. Well, thank you for calling.
Thank you so much.
Again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. In the studio this morning, Marion native Mike McGinnis, who was featured on TLC's My 600-Pound Life last Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve. You can catch that episode, by the way, on YouTube.
YouTube and Discovery Plus.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I'm on telling congratulations.
Thank you.
Have you ever had any trouble with your leg swelling?
I did get some lymphedema last year, and my left leg did swell up a little bit. It has gone down a bunch with the weight loss, but they said that once I do skin removal, I'll probably have to have some taken off my leg, too.
You'll probably have to what?
Take some of the skin off my leg, too, from the growth of the lymphedema.
Oh, yeah, I'm suffering with that lymphedema really bad. My left leg is four times the size it should be. And my right leg is twice the size it should be. It's starting to, you know, get there. I don't get around very good at all. And I've gotten to the point where I don't leave the house very, very much at all.
Well, yeah, definitely got to get out. Once you get out, you'll feel more refreshed and get more of that,
problem is that I have so much trouble with the muscles in my leg that I just can't keep doing it. I'm gonna fall.
The one thing that helped me out a lot was going to the Y and swimming, walking in the water.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah, definitely. Give it a try. Hey, thanks for calling.
Yep.
Again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Mike's going to be with us till 10 o'clock this morning. We will break here in just a few minutes, and we will be joined by Santa Larry Jefferson, one of our holiday traditions, for about 10 minutes at 9:15, but then we're going to come back with Mike and talk about his experience with the TLC Network and the My 600-Pound Life show. So what have you learned through all this, Mike, that maybe you didn't know before?
That everybody gets a second chance. You can't drop it and not try. Don't quit and keep trying. Because once you get that second chance, you can't waste it. You gotta go.
Do people say things unintentionally sometimes that just kind of bury you?
honestly, the biggest thing that gets me every time are little kids.
Little kids.
Little kids. Because they're the cutest, sweetest little things. But you meet them for the first time and go, whoa, you're big.
Mm.
And it's just like, yeah, I am. Other people, some people realize, they just don't say anything. They realize it, you know they realize it, but they don't say it. Kids say things. And I met a little girl a couple weeks ago. She's like, why are you so big? And they just don't understand. And it makes you think. It's like...
tough.
Yeah, it's tough.
Tough. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, sorry. I wanted to ask you this earlier, but I had forgotten. So real quick. When I was a little kid, I was indoctrinated in that whole clean plater syndrome. And that is actually scientifically proven to be a syndrome now. And they're shying parents away from the whole clean plater thing. I can't blame my obesity on anyone, but did you ever experience that? And do you think that how much do you think is because you were taught poor eating habits versus like that's just a decision that you made? Because like obviously I'm 41 now, I can decide what I do and how I eat, how I live, but as a little kid that was ingrained into me. Eat everything all the time. It's never okay to throw anything away. And I gotta hop off here, but I will be listening.
Okay. Well, I never did the clean plate syndrome or anything. I have thrown food away, but my thing is the amount of food I had. And it's like, you go to a buffet, you see all the different foods, you want to try them all. You don't just want to pick certain things and eat them. So that was my issue, is I like trying everything. There's not a food I don't like.
You will hear a lot of people say, I have a slow metabolism. I eat just like everybody else. What is there any truth to any of that?
Sometimes. Sometimes there is, sometimes there's not. I've seen guys that are stick skinny that will eat three times more than I did. But then I've also seen big guys that have eaten very little, but they're still big. So it could be, but in my case, I don't think it is.
When people would inquire about your weight, what was the answer you gave them?
I'm just a big guy.
Just a big guy?
Yeah.
Now, hindsight, what was the truth?
I was eating a lot.
Eating a lot?
Yeah. I wasn't, like, eating... I was eating three meals a day, but I was eating enough to feed multiple people. So it wasn't like I was sneaking food here, sneaking food there. I was just eating a lot. As I said, I was eating three meals a day. But it was a lot.
It's interesting. You talked about the football career that you had when you were in high school. And that seems to be a focal point in your life.
Yes.
That, in some ways, seems to have caused a lot of problem. Why was that such a focal point in your life?
I remember growing up and my dad said, hey, if you want to go to college, you got to get a football scholarship. And I was like, okay. So I worked for it. I got the scholarship. And football was just something that clicked with me. It took my size and made me the guy I was. So people were praising me for being big, for being the lineman, for getting the scholarship and going to college and playing college ball. But then it's the reason why I'm at where I'm at now.
Mm. How did the weight impact your relationship with your kids?
I was slowly not able to go outside and play with them. I was always outside playing basketball, playing catch, playing church softball, intramural volleyball, intramural basketball, everything. And slowly, I didn't have the energy to do anything. My kids would go outside, hey, Daddy, come out and play with us. Not right now, it's too hot. I'd always make an excuse. But now it's like, outside playing catch, playing basketball, being more active, and can't wait to do more. And kids are loving it.
Mike McGinnis is the guest this morning, the star of last week's episode of My 600-Pound Life on TLC. If you missed it, it is on YouTube and other platforms if you'd like to watch it. We're going to take a break here, come back with more with Mike and Sam O'Leary, so stay tuned.
We'd love to have you come to the church. We are a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church that is very, very much focused on outreach and reaching outside of the church and loving